Yudches Shvat, Sunday the 23rd of January, Rabbi Ari Kahn, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, the Tanna who disappeared.
What we're going to do is discuss somebody this morning who's one of the, we'll see as we continue, one of the greatest Tannaim, one of the greatest Tamidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai, if not the greatest. And somebody who we ultimately know very, very little about. And there's somewhat of a mystery over here within his whole existence, and I'm going to try to suggest to understand it a little bit. The second chapter of Pirkei Avos, we're told, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai kibbil lehilul mishamai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai received the tradition from Hillel and Shammai. And then it continues and it says, Hayula Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Sorry, Chamisha Tamidim Hayil Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had five primary Tamidim. Listen, we all know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had far more than five Tamidim. It says these five Tamidim, let me put it this way. I was zochah to learn by Rav Soloveitchik in New York for 3 years, I mean, this year. There were thousands of people who learned in Hashirim over the years, but there weren't so many people who were real Tamidim. And without saying any more about that, I'll continue. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim, and these were they: Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Now, this Rabbi Eliezer is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer who we find all over the Mishnah. This Rabbi Yeshua is the famous Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Yeshua we find all over the Mishnah. Likewise, this Rabbi Yossi and this Rabbi Shimon. Well, when you see Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, you have to be careful. This Rabbi Shimon, Shimon by Yochai, very often this is Rabbi Shimon, which means these first four of these Tanayim, if you go searching throughout all of Mishnah, you'll find their names are mentioned, each of them, their names are mentioned in the Mishnah, I would say dozens to hundreds of times, depending which one. If you go through all of rabbinic literature, the Gemara, Midrashim, Tosefta, Midrash Halacha, you'll find that these four people are mentioned hundreds of times, and these really are the Amudei HaMishnah. These are the people that are really central authorities in the Mishnah. If you go through all of Mishnayos, you'll never find Rav Elazar ben Aruch in any other Mishnah other than right here in Pirkei Avos. He's never mentioned again in the Mishnah. Rav Elazar ben Aruch is never mentioned in any other Mishnah. All of you right now are reviewing all of Mishnah in your minds. Let me know if you find one. Rav Elazar ben Aruch is not mentioned
No.
He's not in the Haggadah, but I said the Mishnah. Don't ask me questions about Haggadah.
By the way, it's interesting. We'll see as we go on. There may be a little bit of confusion between Rav Elazar ben Aruch and Rav Elazar ben Azariah.
But he's never mentioned again in the Mishnah. In the entire Gemara, he's mentioned a handful of times. In all of rabbinic literature, you'll have to work very hard to find him even 20 times mentioned. But before we continue now, let's just continue. Before we get into the problem, let's continue the text a little bit, and we'll understand, hopefully, what the problem is. Who are Yamon and Shivchan? Yochanan ben Zakkai would enumerate their praise. Rabbi Elazar ben Horchan is Bur Sijenu Mabei Tipa. He has the kind of mind that he does not forget anything. He retains everything that he learns. Okay? That sounds very good. Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yuladasa. Fortunate is the one who gave birth to him. Actually, the Gemara Yerushalmi tells us that Rabbi Yeshua's mother used to take him to the Beis Midrash in his crib in order to listen to Divrei Torah. So maybe that's what it's referring to over here. Fortunate is the woman who gave birth to him. Rabbi Yossi Chassid. Doesn't mean he's a father of the Baal Shem Tov. What it means is that he was a very pious individual. Rabbi Shimon Asanel, Yerei Chet. By the way, to be Yerei Chet is not such a simple thing. Most of us, I don't want to say anything bad about Am Yisrael, but most of us are afraid of punishment. Sin is sometimes attractive. But over here, sin for him was something which was anti-aesthetic, something which was absolutely, he was afraid of sin. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Ma'ayan HaMisgaber. He is like a stream that gets stronger and stronger and picks up. Now, which one of these five are the best? You can't really say. And it sounds like, again, he has different kinds of students. Mentioned you're a physician. I don't know what kind of physician you would prefer.
somebody who recalls every single piece of information he learned in medical school, or somebody who's able to make new applications because he goes further. These are different types of skills. But we could try to figure out which skill is better, but I'm just throwing it out as a question. See, I actually know which one of Yochum and Zakkai thinks is better, but I'll hold on to that for a moment. And here is where the problem begins. Hu ya Omer, Yochum and Zakkai used to say, Im yu kol chachmi yisroel b'chachmas naim, if you took all of the sages of Israel and put them on a scale, so they're on one side, the Eliezer ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he would be machrias kula. He would outweigh, or Lezer ben Hyrcanus would outweigh all the other chachamim. Abba Shaul Omer Mishmo, Abba Shaul reported in the name of Yochanan and Zakkai, which means Rav Yochanan and Zakkai also said this. You kol chach mi Yisrael, v'kach muznayim, for Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus afi mahem, for Rabbi Lezer ben Aruch, v'kach shmiya, machrias kula. And this now is an impossibility. Because the second position is, Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai said, you took all the Chachamim, including Rabbi Eliezer, put them on one side. Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch outweighs everyone, including Rabbi Eliezer. So first of all, we have a steer. So the first thing I want to do is to figure out, in terms of the steer, which side is correct. Why do we have two different traditions? I mean, mathematically, this is something which is very difficult, unless you say that when he made the first comment, Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch outweighs all of them, then Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch is not there. Because if he is there, Then it doesn't seem to work. In Pirkei de Elezer, which is primarily teachings of Elezer ben Hyrcanus, which is a whole other topic, a whole other shir, which we could speak about some other time if they ever get me back to London, we find that Rabbi Yochanan of Zakkai teaches of Elezer ben Hyrcanus, who has a very, very limited background. In fact, we're told that he was 28 years old, he never learned anything. And he finally, Eliyahu Navi sends him up to Yerushalayim, he meets Rabbi Yochanan of Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan of Zakkai teaches him, and after a little bit of time, Rabbi Yochanan of Zakkai says to Elezer ben Hyrcanus, I want you to say Yeshir. And he says, how can I say Yeshir? I am like a thing which holds water, and all the water, all the knowledge which I have, all the water was put in by you. I can't say more than what I got from you. So everything I got from you, how can I speak Torah in front of you? To which Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, don't be like something which holds on to everything that it has. He says to him, you should be like a ma'ayan ha-misgaber. You should be like a stream that gets stronger and stronger. So from Pirkei de Elezer, talking about Elezer ben Hyrcanus, we hear of Yochanan Zakkai saying that this other midah, he holds that it's on a higher madrega. So again, I could settle it on what I would now label external evidence, but the truth is I didn't have to work so hard. The reason I have to work so hard is that I can just read the next Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The next Mishnah says, Omer lahem, Rav Yochanan Zakkai says to his Talmidim, Su'u ru'u eizu derech yisharash yidbak ba'adam. Go and take a look at what is a proper trait for a person to have. Rabbi Lezer Omer ayin tova. He says, the most important thing is a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chavr tov. He says, the most important thing is to be a good friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer shachin tov. The most important thing is to be a good neighbor.
Have a good day.
To be a good neighbor. These are midos. Rabbi Shimon Omer Haroas Hanolad, to be able to see where things are going to end up. Rabbi Lazar Omer Lev Tov. Lazar Ben Aruch says the most important thing is a good heart. Without now going into detail what each one of these things means, and obviously you understand there's a place to do that. Omer Lahem, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, Roe Ani as Divrei Lazar Ben Aruch Shebechlal Dvarav Dvarechem. What he says, everything that you said is included, which is another way of saying that in his one formulation, he outweighs everything that you have. So I'm saying the internal evidence based on Pirkei Avos, as we read the next Mishnah, supports the Mesorah, supports the tradition of Abba Shaul, who says that Rabbi Lezer ben Aruch is the one who outweighs them all. It continues then in the negative, in the next thing, point out a trait that people should stay away from. So once is ayin ra, the opposite of ayin tov is ayin ra. It's actually, there's one thing which is interesting. Rabbi Shimon mechaver ra, Rabbi Yossi Omer shachin ra. Rabbi Shimon says that perhaps people in America who were involved in the subprime lending should have paid attention to this. He says, what's the opposite of aroas anolot, of seeing how things will end up? He says, the opposite is halo v'einu mashalim, somebody who takes mortgages that they're unable to pay back. So that's the opposite of a roas anola, which is, makes it a little bit more lemaisa. And of course, the Lezer ben Aruch says that leiv ra, Omer lahem Yochman Zakkai says, Roa ani es divrei Elazar ben Aruch shebachal dvar divrei. So once again, we see that his formulation is the one which wins the day. So, you know, our question at this point is a very simple question. Here we have somebody who, based upon the internal evidence in Pirkei Avos, sounds like at least, again, not to overstate the case, at least one of the top five Talmidim of Yochum and Zakkai. We actually have a couple of indications to believe he's the greatest Talmud of Yochum and Zakkai. When it comes looking throughout the Mishnah, we don't find him. So then we have to ask our question, which I guess was the title. So then what happened to Elazar ben Aruch? Why don't we know that much about it? So you could say that, you know, sometimes there are people that as Talmidim, they're very good Talmidim, but just because somebody's a good Talmud doesn't mean that he's going to become the best Rosh Yeshiva afterwards. Right? Just because somebody succeeds at a certain level doesn't mean that he's able to get to the next level. So maybe Elazar ben Aruch was good at one point and doesn't get beyond that. It's a little difficult to say because we have another Gemara, and this is one of the few Gemaras that he's mentioned in the Bavli. It's a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yudal Merbeis. This is in the parak of Ein Dorshin. Ein Dorshin Chagiga tells us certain things that you can't teach publicly. Ein Dorshin Barayos, Ein Dorshin B'Maisav Rishis, Ein Dorshin B'Maisav Merkava. What the Mishnah ends up saying is that when it comes to Maisav Merkava, you're not allowed to teach it even to one person, which of course then raises the problem. If you can't teach Maisav Merkava even to one person, how can anybody ever learn it? So it says that you're allowed to teach Rosh HaProkim. You're allowed to talk about topic headings. But somebody who's really, you know, capable will understand it, then we'll go back to the Rebbe and say, this is what I understood from you. So the question is, will a fellow like Rav Elazar ben Aruch, and I hope that doesn't sound like I'm not having enough covet, would somebody like Rav Elazar ben Aruch, would he have the capability of being able to understand the Maaseh Merkava? So we'll say that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai thinks absolutely yes, and again, let's keep in mind, there's two things we know about him. What do we know about him? Well, a couple things we know about him. We know that he's arguably the greatest Talmud. What else do we know? That he values Lev Tov. He thinks that's the most important midah. What else do we know about him? He's compared to a Mayan and Iskober, that he gets stronger and stronger. That's all that we know. Over here in Pirkei Avos, in Gemara and Chagiga, it says, Tonu Rabbanan Maisav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehayu Rochid Valachamor. Once upon a time, he was riding on a donkey. In the Ein Yaakov, it continues, it says, V'yotzei miYerushalayim, which may actually be significant. This is teach me the Maaseh Merkava. Haven't I taught you the Mishnah? You're not allowed to teach the Maaseh Merkava unless the person that stands by himself. He says, let me say something over that I understood from you. Now, how many of you think he'll be successful, and how many of you think that he will not be successful? The Yochanan ben Zakkai apparently thought he'd be successful. How do I know? Omalo emar, he said, speak. Miyad yored Yochanan ben Zakkai min hachamor. He dismounted the donkey. V'nisate, he wrapped himself in a talus. V'yoshev ala evin, and he sat down on a rock, tachas azayis, underneath the olive tree. Omalo rebbe, my yoredet alachamor. He goes, why did you get off of the donkey? Omer lo, ef shereta dorish marse makova. He goes, you're going to start being dorish marse makova. Ushchina imanu. God's presence will be with us. Umalchi asheris malavinosanu. Right? And the angels will accompany us. Vani achov alachamor, and we're riding on a donkey. Miyad pasuch elez ben aruch v'dorash, b'masa b'rkova. Yur de'esh min ha-shamayi v'sivivos kol ilano sher besodeh. We're told that the fire comes down, which, by the way, is remnant to the fire by Matan Torah itself. Paschu kol ilanos v'amru shira, mashira amru haluz Hashem min ataninim v'chol t'mos v'chule v'chule eitz pri v'chol arizim haluluka. The af maloch nena mitoch ha'esh, which actually reminds us a little bit of the Sneh as well, which, by the way, the Sneh is really connected to Sinai. There are those that say that the word Sinai comes from the word Sneh. And it's the same place. It's Har Elokim. It's Chored. So therefore, the Malach speaks from the middle of the fire. Omar vaday hein hein Maaseh Merkava. This is the person who understood Maaseh Merkava. Which, and I'll continue more in a second. But here we have Elazar ben Aruch not just as being a Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Here we have him succeeding in understanding the most sublime teachings of Judaism. And Yochanan ben Zakkai has no question that he's going to succeed in this. Omar Yochanan ben Zakkai unashke aroshu v'Omar. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shanasan Ben La'avim Avinu Shadei La'avim Lachkor V'Ladrosh B'Maaseh Merkava K'Elazar ben Aruch. Fortunate was Avram Avinu to have a descendant like Elazar ben Aruch. I mean, that's quite a bracha. Yeshino Dorif Yeshino Mekayin. There are some people who preach well but don't act well, if you ever wondered where this came from, that phrase. Yeshino Mekayin Ve'inna Dorish. There are those who know how to practice, but they don't know how to preach. You practice what you preach, which means he's saying you are the complete Talmud, you're the complete scholar, not just Talmud, you're the complete scholar. You're somebody who's able to accomplish in terms of intellectual, in terms of spiritual accomplishments. So, if anything, our question just gets stronger, and then it says, Ashrecha Avram Avinu Shalozav and Aruch Yotzim Echelotzech. Fortunate was Avram to have such a descendant. So our question now has just only gotten stronger. So if there's such a person, so why don't we know more about him? There's a Medrash in Tehillim, which I find interesting, especially for today. Maybe you would think that he's one of these intellectuals who lived off in an ivory tower, which, by the way, is difficult for us to say anyway, because what is he described of? As somebody who has a leif tov. So maybe he had a heart. Maybe we don't know about him because he's one of these people who are mister. They just keep to themselves. You know, there aren't gadolim like this. They're incredible people that not everybody is zochah to be in the public light. I learned by somebody who was one of the gadoli Yisrael that no one. I mentioned before I saw Eichik. I learned by somebody named Yisrael Zev Gusman, which may be connoisseurs of Torah learning know who he is. But here is a man who was on the base of Chaim Moshe Gudzinski before the war, and I learned with him in 1979. And he lived in...
Netzach Yisrael.
Right. Small, 20 Talmidim. He had a yeshiva of 20 Talmidim. You'd take a dying from Chaim Moshe's base. The man who the Chafetz Chaim stood up for. Okay, people didn't know him. He wasn't zochet to be somebody who had thousands of Talmidim. Okay, things happen. The Medrash in Tehillim says there are certain people shehakol tzrichim la'itzos, that everybody needs this person, his ability to give an etza. It says kigon v'loz v'narach. Again, this is one of the few places that he's mentioned. He's a guy who really knows how to give an etza. Shehayo yoetz esos umiskaimos umatzlichos. When he would give an etza, it would come true. It would be matzliach. Omulo noviata. People would say to him, "You must be a navi." Omulo him lo navi anochi lo ben navi anochi. I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Mekubal, I don't have Elakach Mekublani Mirabosai Shekol Eitzah Shi L'Shem Shemayim Sofa L'Skayim. If you're able to give somebody an Eitzah and you do Mamish L'Shem Shemayim with no Negias, with no personal interest involved, then it's Miskayim. Here, again, here's a person, he's a Mayim Miskaber. Here's a person who has a Leif Tov. Here's a person who knew how to speak to people. So again, I'm just saying our question then gets continued. The answer to the question, what happened, is found in Ovest Rabbi Nosson in the 14th chapter. Not that the answer, by the way, is going to be satisfying, but we'll have to explain it. It tells us that Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai's son died. Now, I want to keep something in mind. Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, I told you that the Girsa in the Ein Yaakov was that the story of the Matzah Mekubah happens as they leave Yerushalayim. I know that probably the most significant event in Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai's life was when he left Yerushalayim. I mean, that was the breaking point between the tkufa, the epic, when we had the Beis Hamikdash, we had the Sanhedrin, and we had certain religious autonomy, to the point that we went to Yavne, and it was on a completely different level. So it's interesting that this relationship is described in between. We don't know what happened to Yochanan Zakkai's son, which is, again, he could have died of natural causes, he could have died during the revolt. We don't know what happened, but we do know that he lost his son. Now, before I read further, there's two possibilities in this, and I'll tell you what my feeling is, and I'll tell you why my feeling is this. One possibility is he's sitting Shiva. And if he's sitting Shiva, what I'm about to read is very difficult. My suspicion is that he lost his son, and the Shiva is over. Matter of fact, I think the Shloshim is over. I'll tell you exactly why I'm saying this, but first let's read. It says that his son passed away, Nichlusu Tamidav L'Nachmo, and his five students, these are the same five students. This is Avos Rabbi Nosson on the same Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that he had five students. Which may also answer the question, which of the five was really the greatest. It says the five students came in, the first one comes in, is Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. V'yosha lefanav, and he sits in front of him. V'amala Rebbe, v'tzonecha omu dovrecha lefanecha. He says, Rabbi, can I say something? And by the way, we all know the halacha, when you go into an Avos house, you don't speak till you're spoken to. He says, Rebbe, can I speak? That's my first indication that maybe something's going on. Excuse me? Something is going on. Something is going on. Omer le emor, he says speak. Omer le, he gives him the following mashal. He says, Adam Arishon hayelo ben v'meis. Adam Arishon had a son who died from the very dawn of history. People have, unfortunately, Rachmanu Litzlan, have lost children. V'kibel of tenchumim, but Adam was comforted. When I entered Kibbutz of Tanchumim, had know that he was comforted. It says, "V'yoda Adam Odes Ishto Afatok Kibbutz Tanchumim." He too should be comforted. So Yochanan ben Zakkai answers, "Amalo lo daily sheni mitzdar ba'atzmi elishir schar to lead sorrow shel Adam Rishon." Not only do I have my own pain, you've reminded me of the pain of Adam. Now, again, there's a possibility here he doesn't want to be comforted. Nichlas Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua comes in. Same thing. He goes, can I speak? He goes, speak. And he says to him, you should know that Eov had lots of children. He died. And he goes, he was comforted. He brings a pasuk. And what does he answer? He goes, until now he's mourning for my son. Now I'm going to mourn for Eov as well. And the next one comes in. Rabbi Yossi comes in. He says, can I speak? He says, speak. He says, Aaron had two sons. They died in one day. And he was comforted. How do you know? But he don't Aaron. And what is he going to answer? He goes, till now I was mourning for myself. And now you've reminded me of the pain of Aaron. And the next one comes in, Shimon, and he says, can I speak? And he speaks. He says, David HaMelech had a son who died, and David was comforted, and so on and so forth. And what is the answer? Till now it's my own pain, now you've reminded me. And I'm going to ask you again. Does it sound like he wants Tanchumen? No. And then something interesting happens. Nichnas Relozer ben Aruch. Now, by the way, here's where you have to be careful, because over here, in the printed Talmud Bavli, in the Vilna Shas, in the Obus Rabbi Nassan, it was Rav Reish Aleph Bet Ayin. So they wrote out Relozer ben Azariah. From all the other editions of Pirkei Avos, from Obus Rabbi Nassan, it's very clear, and also from the continuation from other sources, it's very clear that, and I believe it's the Bach over there who corrects it, and says, no, there's Relozer ben Aruch, which means Rav Relozer ben Aruch was so unknown that when somebody saw the Rosh HaTevis, they thought it must have been Relozer ben Azariah. So it says, Nichnas Relozer ben Aruch. Kaven Shera'o, when Yochanan Zakkai saw him, Omu L'shamsho, he said to his shamas, Tul l'fanai kli, v'leichachar l'becham be'samirchatz. Get me my utensils, I'm going to go off and take a bath now. So again, if he's in the middle of Shiva, does it sound to you like he's going to go off to the be'samirchatz? No. Which means that he over here is no longer in Shiva. Which, by the way, makes much more sense, the tanchumen they all try to give him. What was basically the thing that all four of the tanaim said? Get on with your life. There's a time you get on with your life. If you walk into somebody who's sitting Shiva, the first day, he's sitting down, sitting Shiva, and you say to him, listen, time to get on with your life. You know, there's a maestro with Rav Gusman, that there was a fellow who used to come to Yeshurim, and his son was killed in the army. And this fellow, by the way, later on won a Nobel Prize. Professor Alman. Israel Alman. And Rav Gusman went in and sat down next to him after the Levaya. He went into the house and he sat on the floor next to him. And he said, Rebbe, thank you for coming to the Levaya. Thank you for coming to visit me. But I don't know why you're sitting on the floor. No matter what you say is not going to make me feel better. Go back to the yeshiva. And he says to him, no. He didn't say to him, by the way, get on with your life. What do you say to him? He said, during the war, I had a son, and my son was killed right in front of me. And to this day, I don't know why my son was killed. When I get to Beis Shemala, I have certain questions I'm going to ask. He goes, but you had a son who died defending the people of Israel. He goes, my son, I never got a chance to sit Shiva for him. I had to go run off into the forest. I never sat Shiva. Let me sit with you a little bit. So he said, you've comforted me. Okay. Rav Gusman knew how to comfort somebody, but he didn't say to him, go get on with your life. Over here, if the situation continues for a while, you can then understand why they would all say this. Again, by the fact they're all speaking first, they're asking permission to speak, by the fact that he's saying, I'm going off to the bath now, but it also, he says another thing, which again, we have to appreciate. He says, follow me off to the bath. He goes, for he is a great man, and I can't withstand him. Which means he wants to withstand him, but he knows he can't. Lozer Anarach, again, the Mayana Misgober, the person who has the Lev Tov, he knows, the guy who knows how to give Eitzes that are true. He'll know exactly what to say to Yochman Zakkai. And then in Chinami, he goes in and he says to him, he goes, Moshe Lama, Rebbe, he doesn't ask permission to speak. He says, Rebbe, Moshe Lama Dover Dome. He says, it's like somebody, like a king who gave somebody something to watch for him. you'd be very nervous holding on to something of the king. And every day you'd say, when am I going to return this Nishalom? He goes, the king gave you something to watch. He gave you a son. You taught him Torah, you taught him Midos, you taught him all kinds of things. And now that you've returned what the king lent to you, you've only improved on it. You should be Mekabel Tanchumen. Rabbi Yochum Zakei says the following. You've comforted me in the way that people should give tanchumen. And here's the answer to our question that I started with. When I took leave of Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai, he said, let's go to this place, Amamos, beautiful place, beautiful water, beautiful beaches, snorkeling, all kinds of good things. The Haymarmu Nelech Liyavne and all the others say, let's go to Yavne, Lamakov Shetamidech Chachamim Rubim Ovim Misatora. All the other Tanoim says, let's go to Yavne. Who Shaholach Ladamasis? Who, the one who went to this place of Lamakov Yafim, Mam Yafim Vinoim? Nisma'at Hashmo B'Torah. His name became diminished in Torah. Haym Shaholachim Liyavne, those who went to Yavne, Lamakov Shetamidech Chachamim Rubim Ovim Misatorah, Nisgadil Shmo B'Torah. Their name became great in Torah. So there we have our answer to our question. But in a sense, it's not a very satisfying answer. Because, of course, now we just have to go one step further back. Why would he say to go to this place? And why would they say? I mean, why would they say go to Yavne? We understand completely. Why he would go to this place, beautiful water, beautiful people? You just have to ask yourself what's going on. So let's go back and keep in mind something. The backdrop for all of this is the Churban Bayis Sheni. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a couple of things were destroyed. I already said the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, and other things were destroyed. But can you imagine what the average guy in Am Yisrael felt seeing the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? For example, were there people who would have lost Emunah? Were there people, again, during the a good parallel is the Holocaust. During the Holocaust, if somebody lost Emunah, would we stand here and judge them? Somebody went through the camps. We're not going to judge them. Again, we believe what we believe, what we know, and we believe we know exactly what's emes. But still, we're not. You never judge somebody in their place, and that's somebody. That's a place we never want to stand in. But with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Torah needed a new makom, and all the others went to Yavne. And those discussions are the Mishnah that we have today, as we see. Those are all the names in the Mishnah. He was not there for those discussions. So the question is where he went. So I think that during the Churban something else happened, and that is Am Yisrael, which means you have two issues that happen to Churban. The Torah needs a new place, or you know what, let's go back to the Churban in Europe. It's not just 6 million Jews. It's 6 million Jews, but how many different towns? How many little towns that had their own Nigin Vilachadodi that we lost? How many little yeshivas that were lost? So good, you can tell me, but in Eretz Yisrael today, they opened up a yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, and they opened up the Panovich Yeshiva, and they opened... Okay, there was a town called Panovich. What about the guy who worked in the grocery store in Panovich, who lost his amuna? What happened to him? I think that there would have been people with the Churban who would have said, what does it make a difference what we do anymore? If the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed, what are we going to believe in? There were people who would have adapted their philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die, live for today. And that was a Greek philosophy which was very current in that particular time. They would have given up. We say, low lady, there would have been, and we understand that, even though we wish it weren't the case. Let me point something out that Rav Elazar ben Aruch did teach. Again, this is the only other mission that he's mentioned. I know you'll tell me, I said he's only mentioned once. It's true. This is the next mission of Pirkei Avos. Each one of the Tanoim had a teaching. Let's listen what his teaching is. Rav Elazar ben Aruch, Rav Elazar Omer, Havishotel L'mol Torah. The first thing is you need to be diligent in the study of Torah. He absolutely values the learning of Torah. But then he says something, a term which is used a lot today. He says, Vidor mashitosh of the Apikoros. And you need to know how to answer the Apikoros. And it's interesting. In our language today, an Apikoros is somebody who doesn't believe in anything. In those days, an Apikoros may very well have been literally an Apikoros, an Epicurean, somebody who followed Greek philosophy. Epicure, was an Epicurean? Somebody who said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may die. The fact that he is the one in Pirkei Avos who says, you need to know how to answer, is this therefore something that he sat in the Beis Medrash in case an Apikoros ever walked in?
Or is it that he said, let me go out and seek them, which means what I'm really suggesting was Elazar ben Aruch, the first man who went into Kiruv. Was he the first one who said, with the Churban, Torah is lost, and with the Churban, Am Yisrael is lost. The other Tanayim went to rebuild Torah, and he went to rebuild Am Yisrael. And here's the question, what's more important, Am Yisrael or Torah? Which, of course, I hope you realize is an impossible question. It's essentially asking, who do you love more, your mother or your father? Because Am Yisrael without Torah, we can't imagine, and Torah without Am Yisrael is something we can't imagine. And the others went in, and they rebuilt the Torah, and he, right after he comforts his own Rebbe, he then goes out and says, I'm going to go to the place of the beautiful water. I'm going to go to the place of the beautiful people. I'm going to go to the place that everything's beautiful. But for what reason? He's a Mayan and his Gober. He's a stream that gets stronger and stronger. He believes he can have impact. Now, again, I don't want to make any mistake about this, and I have to end up because I'm given a time limit. I don't want to make any mistake about this, but I believe that the Rabbanim are not happy with his choice. In fact, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that he went to this place of the beautiful water.
He forgot all his
what? And he says he forgot all his learning, even to the extent he couldn't read the pasuk Hachodesh Zelachem. Instead, he says Acherish Yalibam, which is interesting. This Lev Tov, they're saying it's become completely lost. The Rabbanim were not happy because what did they know? They know that he was the greatest of all of them, and he's not there with them. There's also another medrash that says that his wife says he goes off to this place and they want him to come back, and his wife says, who needs who? Do you need them? And I have a suspicion that the wife over here doesn't mean literally his wife, that the wife is Knesset Yisrael. But we have Knesset Yisrael and we have Torah. The question is, which one is more important? I just want to give you a postscript to everything I just now said. A number of years ago, I was fairly friendly with Rav Noach Weinberg. I've been teaching Nesha Torah for over 25 years. And I walked into his office. It was a Sunday morning. And he had a terrible headache. He didn't feel good. And I would very often catch him first thing in the morning before anybody came in. I would schmooze with him. And I'd tell him what I spoke about on Shabbos. I would ask him some questions. And this morning he felt terrible. He had a headache. So I said, you know what? Let me tell you over an idea that I had. And I shared everything I just now told you. So Rav Noach had one question. Anybody know Rav Noach? What was Noach's question of him? Was he successful? That's all he wanted. Was he successful? So I said, you know what? Let me go back. And I went back and I looked and I found something, which I'll end with. There were a number of people during this period who ended up either converting or people who ended up being Chozer B'Tshuva. Who was the most famous Chozer B'Tshuva during that time? Rabbi Akiva. So I went back and I looked at a source in Avos Rabbi Nosson, a very famous source, that tells us about that moment when Rabbi Akiva has his epiphany. It says, "Arbam shana yevelo shana klum." He was 40 years old. He never learned a word. Ham echos haya omid al piya be'er. He's standing by a well, and he sees a rock with a hole in it. Amar michachak evenzu. What made a hole in the water? And then I noticed something I never noticed before. There's another person here speaking to him. Amru lo. Somebody says to him, "Hamayim shatadu noflin lebechol yom." It's the water which is dripping. Omrilo Akiva, he says, the person who's talking to him says, Akiva. Iyatakori avanim shachakumayim. Akiva, have you ever learned the pasuk? It says that water erodes stones. What kind of water erodes stones? Dynamic water. Water which is moving. Water which is moving could even erode stones. Miyad hayu Rav Akiva dan kalvachom liatzmo. Rav Akiva then understands, and he says, Ma rach pasos akosha. If water can erode something which is hard, divrei Torah shakosha kebarzel. Alachas kam racham shichlid libishu basa v'dam. Water, or the Torah, can penetrate my heart. Do you realize the two elements which are in this story of whoever's being makar of Rabbi Akiva? The two elements are the heart and water, which is dynamic. The two things that we know of Elazar ben Aruch, the Lev Tov, and this Mayim Niskaber. And by the way, you do not even think about the irony. Who became the greatest person in terms of Lev Tov that we had was Rabbi Akiva. After Achdamoth is called on the Torah. Who's the one who entered into the Beis Medrash at that point and become the greatest out of all of the Tanayim was Rabbi Akiva. So can I bring evidence, as it were, that this was Elazar ben Aruch in the background? I can't. But I hear his voice in the background. Was it him? Was it a Talmud? But by the way, historically, this is exact. At the same moment that Elazar ben Aruch takes leave from the other Tanayim, it's the moment that Rabbi Akiva enters in. But what I think what we ultimately have over here is an incredible, incredible tension between Am Yisrael versus Torah Yisrael, and we know that both of them are important,
And we hope in our generation that we're able to balance the two as well. But remember, Rav Lozer says, "Have you shokad lumal Torah? Be diligent in the Torah, and then you know how to answer the apikoros." Everything I said is highly speculative. If anybody has a better answer, I'd like to hear it. Thank you.